This podcast contains some magical adult language. Listener discretion is advised. And sorry, Mom.
I'm going to Disney World. I'm going to...
Whoa. You're not Mickey Mouse. You're a rat.
Rich man. Besides, they're tourists. What do they know?
Welcome to Rat Castle, a progressive chat about theme park magic without the pixie dust. I am Nathan Hartman, your fully clothed Nathan Hartman tonight. We're going to be talking why that's so important very quickly. Actually, that's be the end of the show, but you probably know already. With us tonight are wonderful people. Let's start with Victoria. Hello, Victoria.
Sorry, it didn't want to unmute. Hi.
Sure. Hi. Victoria.
Great start.
Yeah. Victoria is currently still in the glow of Beyonce. So she has awashed herself in Black Girl Magic, and she's doing well. So she just got back from that. Was it good? We'll do a really quick review.
Yes, it was very good. It touched a lot on voguing and ballroom culture.
Oh,
a lot of her background and her roots. It does go through a lot of her hits, obviously, because it's a concert movie. And you get to see a lot of her children, which we never get to see.
Oh, interesting. Did you see the Taylor Swift one as well? Or no? I don't know. I don't know if you would. She's giving me a glare for the audience out there.
I politely will say no.
No. Okay.
That's good. She's like, don't come at me, Swiftie.
I'm trying to be nice. Like, I'm not a
That's fine.
She
That's
got
fine.
Some hits. She
I'm looking some... for a, I'm just looking for a comparison. Not a which is better, just a comparison. But anyway, we're gonna move on. Dave is not with us this evening. He is at PAX, I don't know which one. I think East, which is a big gaming convention, because this guy, he's got like a cool board game, and he wants to show it off to people and make money. So whatever, I guess. Cool, whatever. So in his place tonight is our good friend Bri. Hello, Bri.
Hi, everyone. Hello.
It's so good to have you back. Thank you for coming back.
Thanks.
And then of course we have your sister, Janine. Hello, Janine.
Howdy doody.
Janine, you were not in the last episode.
No, nor the one before it. I've been out for a while.
You have been. Where were you? What was going on with Janine?
I was getting hitched.
Hitched?
Getting hitched them, indeed.
Getting them marrieds on?
Yep.
That's cool. Congratulations.
Thank you. Bri was there.
Bri would. I would hope so. I would hope so. Did Costa Rica treat you well, Bri?
It usually does. Yes, very much so.
Good for all sorts of wildlife lookings, which is, if you follow Janine on Instagram, that was the majority of it.
I mean, if you don't go to Costa Rica without that intention,
what are you doing?
Yeah,
you're going to have such a bad time.
Yeah, that's the point of Costa Rica. But no, it looked like a beautiful wedding, and we're so happy for the two of you. Colt's quite the gent. So I'm so happy.
He's the best. He really is the best.
He's
truly. I'm so happy for them, truly.
Yeah. Yeah. And as are we. So thank you for coming back, though. I know Costa Rica's alluring. We might have lost you for good. but no, you're back. So this is the crew this evening. Sara is on a date. Let's just say it that. I want to say it because I want to talk about it next week, right? That's what we want to do, or next episode. So
setting it up.
Sara's on a date. Janine, are you typing on your computer?
I'm sorry. I was typing in the chat because I somehow lost.
You are making so much noise.
I'm sorry. I'm trying. I lost our agenda
in
the sea of monitors that is Colton's desk.
You're just fidgeting and making typing noises. This is a professional podcast.
I'm sorry. Here, I got it back.
See, this is what happens when you lose your Pringles can.
It truly is.
Truly. Truly. But anyway, let's go to the news.
Is that me?
That's you, Janine.
That's me.
just got the agenda back. Okay, so we're kicking it off at Walt Disney World, which is fun. I've been there since I got back from Costa Rica, because of course I have.
Brag.
The big news, I guess, really, aside from a few things that we'll talk about, state senator filed a bill to repeal DeSantis's takeover of the Reedy Creek Improvement District. Basically, there's been complete and utter turmoil over in the new Tourism Oversight District. A bunch of people have quit. Some people have been fired, I think. Basically, no good. So this state senator, Linda Stewart, is trying to get a feel for how many people who previously voted for it are maybe open to considering undoing that. I have no idea. I have to imagine it goes nowhere.
No, of course not, because you're in a state that's run by
fucking fascists.
So, you know, you can't.
Yeah, I don't see it really going anywhere. I mean, it's a good attempt. I mean, for sure.
Yeah, good for her. But yeah, absolutely.
I mean, honestly, like, DeSantis is about to quit running for president, so he's probably going to get bored again and go back after Disney or something. So he's got to prove himself and his manhood once again by taking on a corporate mouse.
Well, just to clarify, he can't run for governor, right?
No.
While he's running for president?
No.
Well, I think but if he bows also out. Term limited at 2 terms.
Has he had 2 terms?
I'm almost certain he has.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
That's why I asked.
That's probably he was running for president. Yeah, I try not to think about him and his logistics.
Good call.
I've been thinking, you know what? Let's talk about just real quick. I just think that we have been talking too much about DeSantis' feet recently in politics. Because of his shoes and his toes and his boots. I want to talk about DeSantis' feet. This is not what the nation needs to be interested in. So,
DeSantis' smile is where the conversation. Oh,
yeah. I don't know what that's about. I don't know what that's about.
He wants to be a real boy.
I love it.
It's a great smile. So in the sense that it's horrible.
Like, why are you so uncomfortable?
It does look like he is uncomfortable being a human.
I love
which
it.
I can relate to.
Like, it looks like it hurts him.
It does look like it is painful to him.
What's interesting is he gave that smile on the stage the other day at the debate, and then he said, sugar, more sugar. I was like, oh, okay, I know what's going on here. I've seen this scenario before. So, yeah, what are you going to do? But best of luck. I hope they switch the takeover. I don't love it. Speaking of reversals. What's going on in Jollywood? Apparently,
this one's. Victoria.
I know the full extent of much all the changes.
Go, Victoria.
Or am I talking about the tea as well?
We can talk about all of it. We know. Let's start with the changes, because we know that when things get dire, we bring out Duffy.
Yeah. So to preface this, I actually do have to start with tea. So.
Oh yeah, that's true. Let's start there.
So I can't say where I heard this from, but they added a lot more characters to even out the crowds. That was part of the feedback a lot of them gave them. So you got like Santa Duffy, Jiminy Cricket, Snow, and that one dwarf.
Snow in that one dwarf.
Dopey, that's what it is.
Dopey.
That one dwarf.
I'm doing my best.
That's like the only way you can say that anymore. And the only context you can say that one dwarf is.
You know, that one dwarf. But to even out the crowds, they added a lot of characters. Yay. T, they only did that the day before the second party.
Can you imagine?
So they had to scramble to find performers who would be able to fill those roles literally 24 hours before the party. So other changes, they kind of worked out the kinks for how Brown Derby's virtual queue works, because first party they basically sent everybody 10 minute wait times.
Yeah.
So they fixed that.
At the same time for those.
Yeah, at the same time, yes.
Having a 10 minute wait time, not a problem.
They moved where the DJ dance party is from like a random ass area to like the center of the park, which I don't even know why they didn't do that in the first place. I think that was about it.
More bartenders at Tip Top Club.
Yes, more bartenders at Tip Top
Club. And they're officially dressed in tower regalia, opposed to just general.
Yes.
So there's that. And there was some tea, right? You confirmed that this was a quick Q4 cash grab, right?
Yes.
That they didn't put any thought into.
Which hurt my feelings. So again, can't say where I heard this from, but this event was essentially a cash grab to fill the execs' bonuses for the year, like a quarter four kind of like cash grab type thing.
Right.
And it's taken a real hit for morale for a lot of the cast members. And apparently there's been some complaints as from the entertainment side of people. So like people who are like there to do like musical things and such to the unions. There's been several union complaints because they're not getting paid what they really should be getting paid. So
yeah,
it's very iffy. I mean, oh, and then there was a thing yesterday where originally four more Jollywood dates sold out, but then they reversed three of them.
Yeah. Something
weird.
That's
weird. I don't know if that was, well, it happened with the Very Merry Christmas Party too, but those were actually sold out and right. only one came back, I think, as not sold out. So I don't know if that was just like a IT error or.
Have you been to your second night yet, Victoria?
Oh, I'm not going back again. They got my money.
Oh, I thought you were going back again.
Girl, they got my money.
It's over.
It's over. More money. I'll see them next year, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I think we can all admit that it's fairly obvious that it was a Q4 cash grab in the sense that there was no merchandise. It's that it was that quick of thinking. Like Disney doesn't not make
merchandise. I will say though, I also did the Very Merry Christmas Party and there wasn't merch there either.
Oh, that's so weird. How strange.
I was very shocked. Like the only thing we got was like a little ornament.
Yeah.
And I looked for merch and there was none. So I don't know if it's just like a thing for the parties now or what.
Well, I mean, we recognize that all Epcot festivals never sell out of merch and that all goes to the outlets anyway. Right.
And I saw Flower and Garden merch this weekend.
Yeah. And I imagine parties are even worse with that. They might just realize that it's not worth the amount that they lose in creation. Speaking of something we gained... Janine, what has recently appeared at the Magic Kingdom?
Oh God,
a Victoria, a ghastly apparition.
We've been gaslit by being told that this is good.
I'm
go
keeping
ahead.
My comments.
Yeah, the Hatbox Ghost was installed just in the nick of time,
November
on deadline, late November on cue.
They weren't lying.
And I was keeping them to that deadline, too. I was like, I didn't forget.
Last night, you were like, where's he at?
Like, bitch, you got 24 hours.
Bitch!
And lo and behold, they just crammed him in there overnight.
Boy, they did.
Yeah. He's, in my opinion, like, people love it. I was never on board with the Hatbox Ghost coming, period.
It's so wildly overvalued. It boggles my mind, frankly, as a Disneyland person.
Don't get it. So I can't tell. Yeah, I don't know, man. They just crammed him in a corner where there was a chair previously, if I remember correctly.
So for those
it was the Donald Duck chair.
Yeah, so for those who can't visualize this, this is early in the ride. It is right before it's the endless hallway.
It's like the second
between the
thing
endless
you
hallway
see.
And the clock. It's between those two things. And it sucks and it shouldn't be there. I don't have a problem with the Hatbox Ghost thing there. I think that he should be the literal last ghost you see. I think he should literally be the end of the ride next to the opera singers and stuff, like right there at the tail end. Because he is like he's fun. We've kind of amped him up as this cool thing that matters. But the idea that he's before he breaks the mood because you're supposed to be getting into it. And having that spooky, eerie vibe. And then all of a sudden there's just the Hatbox Ghost now in a space that doesn't really fit.
It does not fit. It's very disjointed from a visual perspective. Like there's this really warm hallway with the floating candelabra, and it's like getting a little spooky. And in the same frame, the exact same frame is that. So, like, what happens to the candelabra? The candelabra and all that warmth and that mood setting is just gone. And it's just like, he's here.
It totally destroys the whole like narrative of the ride because you start off with this like subtle sort of gestures, unseen hints of things. And then now we've just got the hideous hatbox ghost with that like very garish kind of thing right there at the start. I think it's so misguided.
I read on Twitter, I'm trying to remember who this was. I think it was I think it was Maria is her name, if I remember correctly. She currently works for Warner Brothers doing Imagineering kind of stuff. And she said the problem with this is there's two focal points now. And weirdly enough, Dave agreed with her. So maybe we'll call that Dave's opinion on this at the moment. Because the candelabra was the focal point.
That's what I was just saying. Like, it used to be like the candelabra, and you were really focused on the mystique there, and now it's competing with the hatbox.
It's too much in one corner. It was a chair. You can't switch out a chair for a huge animatronic that does a visual trick. Like, it's. And what's funny is you go online and like the people who the Imagineer team that did it, I think, well, I can't remember Dave, I think that's his name. They were they're posting online and they're like, the Hatbot Ghost is here and yay, and we do, our team pulled this together, and we're like, bitch, no, this is like bad. No one's happy with what you've done. Like, you here's what I think happened, and I think this is I think we can all agree this is probably what occurred, which is promotions bought the Hatbox Ghost for the movie. Installation got delayed, and they were like, well, in the and I think I even heard some creative business about, well, you know, he's not the kind, he's not like the same kind of ghost like every other ghost. He's different, and so he can be before and da da da, which sort of matches the movie. And so that was, I'm pretty sure this is a real Johnny Depp on pirate scenario going on here. Except here's the thing. I don't even remember that movie. I saw that movie. I couldn't tell you anybody's name in that movie at this point. Yeah, no. So the internet's already aflame about this. This is not great. But what are you gonna do? They're
How
moving
long do you
on.
think it lasts?
Forever. It takes money to also tear things down. So they're never gonna change it.
Had anyone been on this yesterday? Did they have like a construction wall up? Like,
I think
I
they did
believe
it
it.
overnight because I had a friend who was there yesterday and they said it,
I mean, if it's a
they said it was
one
setting
night
up, but
install, like it's a one night uninstall.
It's true. It's true. Again, I don't get it. There's like so much space in the attic. Like, honestly, I hate our
The attic
bride.
would have made some, just from like a color theory perspective,
Well,
having that like,
that's
that's where
where it
it
is
was.
at Disneyland. That's where it's supposed to be.
All right. So can I just say something?
Yes.
Y'all, the Disneyland one and the Walt Disney World are not the same. That's why they did not put it in the attic.
What do you mean they're not the same? They look exactly the same.
They look, what do you mean they look exactly the
They
same?
look exactly the same. They're the same
Story
animatronic.
wise, it makes more sense for Disneyland's based on the lore.
Sure.
So why would they put it in the attic here?
It's preferable to the beginning hall with the candelabra. I
Yo,
mean,
I'm gonna just say it. I don't give a fuck.
yeah, I mean, I know you don't care at all.
Well, I
You
mean, I
have.
do care because this is my favorite ride, but I don't. I like
You think
y'all.
it's
It's an
fine where it's at?
animatronic. It's a fucking animatronic ghost. I need everyone to calm the fuck down.
Nah,
But
I'm
I
for.
don't really care where it is. If anything, my concern was where's the Donald Duck chair? That was my thought.
Well, Isn't it on the cruise liner now?
I think it is.
I can't be the same one because they're gonna let people sit in it.
I would like to sit on
I
it.
just think it's a suspicious coincidence then that the
Right. It's
chair
true.
disappears right at the same time we see it in a cru on a cruise ship.
Well,
That's
the
true.
cruise ship isn't even
Done
welded
yet.
together. Yeah, it's not even
Yeah, I
welded
know.
together yet.
Yeah. So, I wouldn't even, honestly, I don't even mind if it's earlier in the ride. I feel like the R.R. Escher painting room, I like that look. But you know, you could have, that's plenty of space and you could have done it in there and it would have been its own thing.
I do agree.
I agree.
Yeah, I could agree.
I think that this is like, I don't like the story argument. Okay, sure, whatever. But I don't live and die by that story. I never even put that together, truthfully. So like, well, that move me.
Yeah. But original Imagineers also didn't give a shit about the story. Like, it's supposed to be a vibe. That's the majority of what's going on there. So
yes, but this,
but there's definitely like an escalation. Yeah, to 100%. The scale and the experience. Yes. And like, they definitely paid very close attention to that. And that's my biggest issue with this.
Of course.
That it seems to,
well, then I also have to mention the average guest doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, but
they experience it. Like it's like they watch a good movie versus a mediocre movie. The better movie, you know, is wider received.
I would argue that wouldn't even matter because they're gonna ride the Haunted Mansion no matter what because it's the Haunted Mansion.
Well,
I mean, that's how it is. But like that Disney can to, just.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's the truth.
Yeah.
Because when I go to, if I'm the average guest, I'm taking a friend for the first time in January. They said they want to ride Small World.
I just think for a company that prides itself on innovation and being like inspiration,
adherence inspired. To story, like and being storytellers, like
Victoria's ducking. She's like,
no,
hey,
it's
wait.
Not that because I was. It's not on the agenda, but I was gonna say Bob Iger actually kind of.
Yeah, happened earlier today.
He said we need to focus, the creators need to focus more on storytelling versus...
Entertainment over storytelling.
That's what it was. And I was like, it's funny that you brought that up. I was like,
That also doesn't mean... I don't know what happened to Bob Iger. Like, I really don't know in that sense. Because like now he's saying things that literally... doesn't sound like Bob Iger from 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's also weird. I wonder if he's talking about like not necessarily storytelling, but like some sort of like message.
Political message.
Political message. Because
it's
stuff.
Like, I think it's his way of using language that's less inflammatory.
I agree. Because like I have his book and it doesn't even sound like him. Like he is a straight up supporter of creatives, so him saying that is just like, what are you talking about?
He was also at a business convention, like I don't, and no one's gonna remember what Iger said because Elon Musk showed up and took a shit on the floor. So
yeah, what the fuck was that about?
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you're like you show up on Molly. So anyway, that's the Hatbox Ghost. Per usual, we finally got what we wanted at Walt Disney World and at Monkey Pod is hard. So let's move over to Epcot to probably another thing that's going to disappoint a bunch of people. Janine, we got Poopin' Walt. Poopin' Walt is finally joining us.
Wait, is that what he's called?
Yeah, I'm calling him Poopin' Walt.
Okay.
Yeah, he does kind of look a little bit. I mean, he's fully got pants on, so anyone who's just like seated kind of always will look like they're pooping a little bit, but
I mean he's spreading so
it wouldn't,
hard though
it wouldn't surprise me. Many people apparently poop at
yes
World,
so. Yeah, as we spoke last episode.
Yeah.
When does this all open?
December 5th, so next Thursday.
I still don't believe it.
Yeah. I'm curious about it. This is one of those famous don't count on the concept art stories. Concept art had like a tiered platform with Walt sitting at the top and like people could, you know, in theory come sit next to him on multiple sides and positionings, and like you could take like a full group photo with Walt on this concept art. But instead we have, and I couldn't care less about this. we have Walt sitting on a bench.
Right.
With some greenery behind him a little bit. And peeking over the top of a wall is the crown of Spaceship Earth.
Yeah.
It is not a great photo op.
Yeah.
Which is a pity. But yeah, I don't care.
Yeah. I mean,
I have to imagine that like they are giving tier angles, vision angles,
right,
to other things.
I think this is an ADA. I think this is an ADA compliance thing.
That's a good
that
point.
That was my first thought.
Yeah, because
the other thing was not ADA compliant at all.
Yeah, you couldn't really pose with it.
Well, it was also concept art, so
right.
Yeah.
So it's fine, whatever. I mean,
yeah.
World Celebration Gardens, I guess, is what it's all called now. Except the stage, the Communicore stage, isn't going to be done yet.
Wait, so remind me, what the hell was supposed to be in here, and why did this take 4 years? I'm lost.
No one knows why it took 4 years. Apparently, there's supposed to be a fountain, right? All the aerial footage, though, because it kind of is supposed to look like the logo, the Epcot logo, but there's no water in it, so it just looks like a vagina right now.
I haven't seen the aerial stuff.
I mean, it just straight up looks like a
I need vagina. To see this. I haven't look at seen this. The aerial. Yeah.
Majora and all.
Where did you see this? Where did you see the aerial?
Hold, please. I will find it.
Yeah, it's usually on.
It's probably on BioReconstruct.
Yeah, it's BioReconstruct that. It,
I love BioReconstruct, but I've just been like, I only see
it's probably like back there.
Yeah. By the way, I'm not cutting any of this out. This is quality content.
Ooh, there's a Black Santa at Universal.
Black Santa? Here, I got it. It's November 27th. That will give you a good view of this.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I'm getting there.
All right. We need to see the Epcot.
Oh, wait.
Vagina.
Hold on. I think I'm close.
Oh, it does. Yeah, I get
it. Oh, yep. Okay. Yep.
Is this supposed to be a fountain? It looks like it's not a fountain anymore.
I see the vision.
What could it be if it's not a fountain?
Yeah.
They would have filled it with plants at this point, right?
I would hope.
I guess.
The garden area looks pretty beautiful, though.
I mean, it does. I'll give them. It doesn't look like it has shade, and that's concerning.
Maybe that's what this is gonna have over it. There's these like pillars. I don't know if those are just lights or if there's gonna be something attached to that eventually.
Probably
but,
just lights.
I mean, for a park that is suffering because so many people don't want to go because it's so hot.
Yeah.
It's surprising to see so little. Maybe those are misters. I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, you could. I'm looking at this aerial footage of this fountain planter or whatever it is, and you could teach a child that needed to understand reproduction this is really got it figured out.
Pull up the concept art. Like, I feel like I'm missing something
about the fountain or
just in general. Like, what are we celebrating here?
the world, don't you know?
Like Walter Elias.
Sorry,
we need another
statue
for this.
Universal Epic Universe has basically got like rides done, and they're like testing them.
Yeah, they're testing them right now. Like, that is nuts to me.
That's crazy. I mean, it is like a glorified Busch Gardens-y thrill ride.
The one, yeah, the Dragons one. But they got track laid for their roller coasters.
Yeah.
Like, ride vehicles have arrived. They're on tracks, and they're...
Yeah.
Mobile.
Like. Yeah. And Disney's over here being like, we need a little more time to put the bushes out and then we're good to go.
We just gotta
finish sanding this labia majora and add some more bush and we're good. So that's why they call it World Celebration or World Create. Was it Nature? World Nature Celebration Creation? Whatever the fuck they call
it. Whatever it is.
I don't even know.
So. I can't keep it straight anymore. Brian, have you got a handle on it?
For life.
Nope.
Nature. World. I don't know.
Let me pull up this concept art. I'm pulling up. There's trees here.
I'm inside of it. It's in the central core. So isn't that World Celebration? Isn't that basically
what that is?
So, I mean, that's what that is. Whatever vague nonsense that is, I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
But
so,
that is what they're doing.
Yeah.
So Janine was right. It looks like those are going to be lights.
No, I said they were going to be lights.
Oh, well, then you were right. I'm sorry.
Janine said it was going to be covering.
Everything else.
Now, I need to know if this is... I truly need to know if this is a fountain.
I'm trying to look at the concept art.
I
don't see it.
I don't see it. Water. No, it's full of bushes. It's this just girl is not a squirter.
Oh my god.
Jesus, people pay for no one pays for this shit.
I think it's a planter in the concept art.
Yeah, it's a planter, yeah, it's a planter in the concept art.
So they can't even get. Sorry, gang. We ran out. We went to Home Depot and all the plants are gone. We're gonna get this done in about a year. Give us a second.
Why did Fountain of Nations definitely... die? Yeah, that's definitely planters.
Yeah.
Yep. You can see.
So we lost the Fountain of Nations for this.
Yeah, this that's kind of wild. It's
What were they waiting for the plants to grow? Like,
There was a time in this concept art where they were going to have a large fountain in the front of this area, and then that got nixed, if I remember correctly. It was like kind of in the area before you get to the kind of the where the circle for World Showcase begins. Anyway. So poop and walk's coming.
I just want to say, if there are not lights in the ground around that vagina planter, I'm going to have a hard time dealing with that.
I mean,
I need my lights in the ground at Epcot.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, as someone who's spent like a fairly small amount of time at Epcot during this renovation process, I have yet to have that pleasure. I'm not afraid to admit, but cosmic rewind aside, I have to say this whole Epcot rejiggering is like tragic to me. It truly just seems awful. I haven't seen the Moana thing. I haven't been there as like Pathway X45 has opened up, but you know, I was there last summer and yikes.
Mm-hmm.
Holy
what
shit.
Are they doing?
I just realized I was there and forgot Journey of Water was even there.
You were there? That's fine. Didn't even go?
I think I walked past it twice. Holy shit. Well, to Brian's point,
the weekend that it first opened, and it was really cool.
Okay.
And pretty much everything was working. And then we went like 3 weeks later, and about 30% of it was already broken.
Cool.
Oh, boy.
Cool. Yeah. So that's a bummer. It was really my little water elemental 10-year-old.
Your water bender.
He absolutely loved that. And that, like, it's something that Epcot really, really, really needed, in my opinion. But it just, they need to get it to work consistently.
Yeah. They do have heated water, which I thought was interesting. I saw that today.
That is
today.
Interesting.
The water
that makes
is
a lot of sense.
The water is currently lukewarm or slightly warm opposed to cold at all, which is, there's no way people would want to be around.
I mean, that's just how Florida water is. Like, the water that comes out of my faucet is natural, like, even on the cold, is so much warmer than when I go anywhere else in the world.
It's really true.
North of here.
It really is true.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like there's some steam coming off of it right now.
Yep.
Which is kind of cool.
Well, I'm just going to hold my judgment until I see it in person and call
it. Smart. Well, you had the opportunity and you screwed it. You screwed the pooch.
Look, living with the land was my priority.
I think she's talking about World Celebration.
I was talking about World Celebration. Oh, okay, okay. You're not going to call me out for that. Living with the land was my priority.
That's fair.
Speaking of things that are getting people steamed, what you like that tradition? That transition? Tomorrow is being vague again about things.
Yeah.
What's going on in Animal Kingdom?
I don't know. DeMauro is talking out of both sides of his mouth, in my opinion, about the dinosaur ride potentially being converted into an Indiana Jones ride. DeMauro was talking about the South America pavilion basically taking over Dinosaur Land.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about how they're quote all in, but it's like not final, and so it's just like what
bitch,
is
that ain't
this?
That's not what all in means.
that's not what all in means. Like, you're not all in until you're all in. Like,
it sounds like they're all
down?
In on the process of figuring out a solution. It doesn't sound like they're all in on a solution.
I don't know.
Yeah, I just
such grand corporate speak.
It really is. I just I hate to say it too. I'm just like, maybe they should really just take a page out of Universal's book and just hold shit close to the chest until it's like built.
Yeah, don't tell us anything. I don't know why they think this is a good idea. Showing people,
it's all tethered to the financial system, right? Like they need these announcements to bolster stock performance. That's what, like, honestly, we're talking about why X takes forever to open and why we're waiting on planters. I honestly wonder how much of it is related. We need to announce this Walt statue on November 30th and show this picture here. Yeah. And then we have this schedule, like just like these little spikes of nonsense that has some like fantastic.
Can you imagine how
financial reaction,
soul sucking that would be?
Yes.
It sounds deranged.
Yeah.
Oh my
and
God.
I think that's the reality of our situation, guys.
Yeah,
you might be right. Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
They did ask him, and he said, "Animal Kingdom is about exploration and adventure. I was fortunate enough to have run this theme park, which is true. So I know how special it is, and I think there is a lot of stories that can be stay true to Animal Kingdom, express new properties in there, and that's what you see us starting to do." I don't necessarily disagree. I'm fine with the Indiana Jones ride, as I've said before. I can do mythical beasts. Ekrons are not mythical beasts. They're not from – they're a new alien thing. That's fine. If Avatar can work – we can still discuss mythical beasts and how
I would argue people... that Avatar is a pretty classical myth structure story.
Sure.
And by default, they are mythical dragons because it's a very myth story.
And but technically, they decided... that was part of the core Animal Kingdom anyway.
Yeah. But they decided to instead discuss conservation effort and what's the term that they use? Animal blah, 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 blah. I'm trying to think through the pre-show.
The keystone species, dinosaur is, in a sense, a conservation story.
It's true.
Like,
absolutely.
It's truly embedded into every...
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, story-related effort at that park is conservation.
I think if this is a South American land, you can put forth enough of an effort in other areas that... theming this. There's a cute noise happening.
All right, is that a cat?
My cat.
Oh,
baby.
I thought it was my cat. I don't think he's sweet even baby. In the room.
Sweet baby needs kisses and love. Anyway, I mean, I just like Indiana Jones. So whatever. I mean,
look, I'm with you. I see the vision. I don't hate the vision. I would even argue Encanto is fine, mainly because it takes place within a jungle setting in South America. So there's that is for it. My issue is, can you confirm it?
Because people
are saying it's confirmed. I'm like, I'm pulling up Disney Parks blog itself, that even they're saying it's not confirmed. So is it a thing? Is it not? You also said we're not getting any attractions close to 2030. You're giving me DVC.
But then they're also saying that they're doubling their theme park budget.
60 million or something?
Billion.
Billion with a B.
But a lot of it's going towards the DVC resorts.
So annoying.
And the only reason, and I read the earnings report, the only reason the parks, Disneyland kind of did sort of well is because of them raising prices and the DVC villas.
Yeah, that's the only way they can make money. The only way they can show shareholders their plussing things is by making things more expensive, not because they're actually making any extra.
There you go.
Yeah.
Just confirm it.
I really have to be careful here, because if there is any subject on this podcast that is discussed, it's this one is probably going to be the one that I could talk for weeks about. But as some of you may or may not know, I have some very significant hyper focuses in my life. Among them are dinosaurs, conservation, theme park, and South American animals.
Yeah.
So this particular. Yeah, it's a perfect storm.
It's really
here.
Sophie's and choice for you, isn't it? It's like you get South American animals or dinosaurs. Pick one.
You know, well, my concern here is that I actually won't get South American mammals. I'll get Coco, which is Latin American and is now thrust into this conservation park. Or, you know, Indiana Jones I can deal with. I honestly can. But I just don't understand why they're not embracing up. The story is so ripe for a ride attraction. It dovetails perfectly into what they're trying to accomplish with the South America adventure and a conservation message. And it's enormously popular.
And it already has some presence in the parks.
Yeah, and also, lastly, if I'm gonna lose dinosaurs, I am gonna want fucking Kevin, the 10-foot tall rainbow dinosaur bird, to represent, like, hey, yo, it's still a dinosaur and it lives in this lost world and it needs to be conserved, and like, it just fits perfectly for me.
Yeah. I have to acknowledge at this moment that I'm hearing a beautiful kitty purring, and it's so lovely.
I think it's vibing on my ideas.
Yeah, it's very happy.
I think so too. He didn't show up until you started talking, Bri.
I'm wondering if it's a demographic thing. Like,
well, let us remember here that Up came out in 2009.
That's, well, how long ago did Frozen come out?
There's a significant difference in box office there, and I'm not being cooled up.
That's what
I'm not being cooled
up.
We're talking,
to be fair,
the largest
Strange World came out recently, and they're not investing in that. You know,
no, that was an absolute.
I mean, it was a disaster, but like, Up has significant roots in our culture. It's very popular. They sell shit tons of Wildlife Explorer merchandise.
No, I don't disagree at all.
Park, like, it's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Beyond most of the character actors being dead.
All you need is Russell.
Yeah, you really don't need Russell. Truly.
That's all you need, and that'll carry it forward. I mean,
yeah, it can be
truly
a wilderness explorer's ride. There's no reason it can't be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, see, my business here, and we've talked about this, and I don't want to overstay our welcome on this subject, but, you know, I think a wilderness explorer, like, official trail through South America works. I think if Casita actually is not a ride and is an entrance to the room that is actually the trail for South America, I think there's potential.
Like, Miguel's room would be amazing. Like,
I could argue it could be similar to Adventureland Treehouse and just be a walkthrough.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah. I love Encanto, though, and I have to say, when Antonio gets his room, as someone who's just obsessed with South American wildlife and rainforests and animals and, you know, living with them, I was bawling in the theater at that moment. Like, I don't think I've ever had, like, a deeper emotional reaction to a Disney animated movie than that moment, which is very niche and very specific, but it's true. And I think that's true for a lot of people. And I think it's just a great portal into this whole world. I think it's so much potential there. I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
Sounds like we won't see it close till 2030 if they confirm it.
By that point, Universal will be working on their fifth park. Disney's going to be like, yeah, we're thinking about something.
We're considering.
Victoria, let's go over to the West Coast.
Oh my God.
I would say this is actually fairly interesting. There's been some serious issues over at the Jungle Cruise. Both coasts actually have been having crumbling infrastructure for the Jungle Cruise recently. But there's the construction over Disneyland has taken an interesting turn that I think is actually kind of fun.
Okay, cool. That's the first I'm hearing of it.
It's your thing.
She was watching Beyonce.
Right.
She can't be blamed.
My priorities.
Okay, I can go through it if you want me to. That's fine.
Was in doing a fan count to Beyonce. Anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, I can go through it if you want, because I had an opportunity to look at it.
I'll skim. So
you're professional.
Jeez, I swear we try most times, people, just so you know.
So long story short, this is for Disneyland Park, but the Jungle Cruise shrine that had a tiger was under construction. There were walls, like, kind of like reminiscent of like old wood that blocked it, and it's been up, but then now it has like extra theming. So the theming is like a notice sign that's pinned to the wall, and it kind of is basically a dig site, like an archaeological dig site. So it's like telling you, you may not come in. That hasn't stopped a single Disney guest before, but there's that. So it's like a little pickaxe there leaning on the wall. There's a rope with a bucket to the other side of the tiger. At one point, I do believe there's a tarp. Basically, it's just like physical props. That's just
It's vibing into the Indiana Jones adventure is the idea.
I think it's like connecting to that in a way. So, I mean, I don't
It's good for construction. Like, it is. If you're going to do construction, this is a nice way of doing it. I don't think this will stay forever. I think the rock work takes a lot of time to get right. And they probably want to make it last even longer. So, but yeah, this is a nice, you know, I'm always happy when they take care of and they put some quality thought into something.
And rare these days.
Yeah, that's it for Disneyland. We're going to Shanghai, and which I think is probably at this point the coolest thing we have to talk about this week.
Oh my God, yeah. So they've come out with some, well, first off, if you don't know, they're opening a Zootopia themed immersive land in Shanghai Disney. It's going to open a little less from a month from now, actually, December 20th. And they just released some footage of the Zoot. Why didn't I speak Zoot right? Zootopia Hot Pursuit.
Hot Pursuit. I like that.
Hot Pursuit. I tried. It's a damn Zootopia ride. And it looks freaking incredible just based on the clips that I've seen. Like, there's this gorgeously fluid animatronic of the, what is her name? The gazelle. I don't know what the hell. Giselle the gazelle. Yes. Absolutely fluid.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Incredible. Like, I've never seen anything like that.
Moving and shaking. And it's really weird because you watch it and there is a screen behind her that shows kind of an audience and some dancers. And she's so fluid that you don't even think like it. She feels a part of the screen in that way because she's just so like she's turning and stuff. Like
she's doing, like her hips are not lying. Like,
no.
The spread eagle elephant is.
Let's talk about
the elephant.
So they go into the nudist. What I want to talk about tonight. Yeah,
they go into the nudist colony.
The horrors part of the attraction, mind you, where the lights go out and they're using a flashlight, like some A24 film, and then there's like bam, giant vagina cooter in your face. It's really crazy.
Yeah, just a big titted elephant. That is. It is. And I get it. This is the joke in the movie, but. It is something that I think it's really funny, but I assume they would like put a plant or something, you know, like it, just in the sense of like, oh, well, we know that they're naked, but you still can't see it. But it is just like you are getting full elephant cooter.
I mean, maybe they don't care in China. I don't know. I just feel like they're so into this movie. They don't care.
Here's the thing though. So there's the elephant and then we got ourselves a nude, because this is the news colony, a hippo.
I think it has pillows.
Who does?
The elephant?
I think the elephant.
Yeah, like right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at it like.
Oh, well, yeah. It's
but
sort the of
implication
in the
is so strong. It doesn't matter.
It's really
it
strong.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. The hippo is like, I know the idea is she's just relaxing. I'm getting total fuck me eyes from this hippo. Like there's a lot going on with this hippo.
I wish I was like in a bathhouse section of the attraction. Like it gets really
it basically
steamy suddenly.
Is.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Which is, I mean, I think it's really funny. I'm just so surprised they went there.
I was truly shocked and continue to be shocked.
I giggled. Yeah. But I'm also immature.
Very fun. So to give people an idea of what this ride kind of looks like, it is basically, I think the best way of putting it is Runaway Railway. I think it's very Runaway Railway in the sense that you are in a car. Maybe the car's a little more rise, but you literally come up on them in their sort of little cop car. They're trying to catch the sheep who's going to kidnap Giselle. And you kind of run through different scenes. There's a little bit of Ratatouille vibes kind of at the end, which I think don't work as well. I feel like you can see the edge of the screen and it's not a 3D show. So I feel like it's going to sort of feel like a Ratatouille-ish ride. But this thing's got Rise-esque elevator simulators. You don't actually go up, I don't think, but they're doing some simulation. As you go on a sky, what are they called? Sky trams or skyways. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of effects here. I heard somebody kind of complaining a little bit about, there's one effect where you're kind of zooming by stuff. And until you really watch it in like a nice high def version, you don't recognize that you've fallen into a train. And so that's why you are kind of watching things front that are going to the side, but you're keeping up with it.
Weird.
Yeah, which it's very obvious once you watch like the better high res version. The TikTok ones came out and people were a little bit like, I don't get this. But it's more explained the farther along you get into it. So, yeah, I mean, I love this.
I'm impressed.
There's a joke. There's a genie's lamp in the city scene. There's lots of fun little bits here. Now, where does this go in America is the question.
Nowhere, because it's A-code.
Well, I actually think that we, as much as
I mean, I'll tweak it
as us left, though we are firm leftists, I really think this is pretty light on the ACAB. And
is this the full video?
Yeah, it's everything. It's the whole ride.
The whole ride.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. I think it is pretty light on the ACAB, then.
It's really, but just,
I think you do, don't you go through like the whole police academy in the queue? I would imagine.
Yeah, that's where you go through.
That's the weird part.
No, we live in America. I don't know if you know who, like. We are the minority on this point.
We really are. Like this, we are not the target audience for this.
No.
In the slightest.
No, all cops are bunnies.
I mean, where would they go?
Hollywood Studios?
Epcot? You know what? Hollywood Studios. Yeah.
Well, it's I was thinking California Adventure, but Hollywood Studios and California Adventure are both the sort of throw up whatever you have left over vibes.
But who needs it more?
California Adventure.
California Adventure.
I would say California Adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need a big, good dark ride. We really
do.
Though I don't love the idea.
But I want a Coco one. I don't know why they just don't do a Coco one.
Right. They do so much Latin America.
That would work so well.
Like, it would do so well.
I don't know why they don't do it. I don't get it.
Because it costs money.
Yeah, I was going to say probably money.
Well, the thing about this ride too, I keep hearing people harping online about, well, this would never work in Animal Kingdom. And I kind of have to be like, yeah, it's not going to Animal Kingdom. There's nothing, there's no suggestion that this is ever going to Animal Kingdom.
I don't know where people got that from. They ever say
they said that Zootopia was getting a significant presence way back.
It's been a
looming threat in the whispers on the internet for like a decade, it feels like.
Well, no, they confirmed the Bug Life thing, though, didn't they?
Yeah, that's,
that's okay.
Yeah, fine.
Wait a minute. They confirmed that, but it wasn't on the list of things to do?
What do you mean?
Remember when they put out that list of things that they were going to do, like during the earnings call, and it was like,
oh yeah,
Fantasy Springs and stuff.
It's 1,000 years from now that it's going to happen.
Oh, whatever. I'm so sick of them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, DCA needs Coco. Period.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you know,
but I'll take a Zootopia, man. That ride looks fun.
It does.
Yeah. It does.
But
look
do you
fun.
Guys need California Adventure? Does not need two wonderful drags. You guys have Cars Land already. I think like this the land looks so cool. I think I'm trying to think.
Well, aren't they getting that that Marvel e-ticket, the new revamp?
Sure
one?
They are.
Sure the hell knows. Seriously. Everyone's... Like that is the vaguest nonsense out of all the piles of vague nonsense that we got.
You know what's really hot right now is Marvel. That's where they want to put their money is. Clearly that's worked.
I mean, hey,
it's over. They shouldn't have.
Well, although we are supposed to be getting an Avatar thing at California Adventure, maybe.
What even is it though? Like,
yeah, it was at an experience.
You're getting nothing. You're gonna get.
I honestly believe it's going to be a theme park presence comparable to the thing at Animal Kingdom. They're just saying experience because they haven't quite decided on like the exact scope of it.
Oh. I don't think you're getting even.
Oh, you know what? Have you? I know Brian might not have. Did you guys do that at Pirates of the Caribbean, Jack?
I know what you're talking about.
I have a feeling
it's
going to. Yes, and it was a worse decision. I had a choice to do like something better, and then I chose that for some reason.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking it's going to be like
the Tales of Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
Or the Legend of Jack Sparrow, something like that.
It's giving that energy to me.
Well, if we've talked again, I feel like we're kind of repeating, but if you get the Ikran from China, that would be the best case scenario, I think. I think this is going to be, they're going to be like, you can make a custom, whatchamacallit, and they're going to bring the dragons, or the tiny baby Ikrons, and it's going to be like half shop is what it's going to end up being.
Yeah, that's funny.
And they were hot to trot about this because the movie was huge. And look, I have no issue with the movies, but I will say, like, the Half-Life of Avatar vibe is like the movie comes out and everyone's talking about it for a month and then it absolutely disappears from culture. Like,
but people are obsessed with the land and continue to be, and it's totally widely regarded as one of the best things that Disney has done on this continent in who knows how long. So
yeah, totally.
I agree.
And it's still like an uber billion grossing movie that people will see and love to see. So I really would be surprised, honestly, if at this point, especially with Marvel tanking and Star Wars being, I don't know, a TV show, like, this is the best thing that they got. I mean, this is
That's a really good point, Bri. Like, nothing else is giving them the box office success that Avatar has.
It's almost like it's almost like if you make one movie every 7 years for a franchise and you just hype. It brings a lot of money instead of having one every month.
Because hype happens all the time. Like, I granted,
yeah, I'm but delivery
way of water sure. fan,
yeah,
but like that delivery. Movie, it delivered,
yeah, totally.
It delivered.
Well, that's, I think that's the point. Like, he's saying, like, a lot of them are not delivering,
because
like, take 7 years and hype it for 7 years versus. Hiring like something up every couple months.
14 years and like really work on it.
Yeah.
I will say though, I think we're only getting like one Disney Marvel movie next year.
Well, yeah, that's because they've basically realized they can't make any money and they don't know what to do. So they're just making Deadpool.
I think
because Deadpool will make tons of money.
Deadpool will make money.
Yeah,
absolutely. But that's not a Marvel movie. Not really.
I mean, technically.
We are cutting hairs very thin at this point to say that the success of a Deadpool movie is a success for Marvel. It is a success for Deadpool and Ryan Reynolds.
Because everyone said
this is nothing, and Ryan Reynolds was like, no, it's really big, I can make it something amazing, and they were like, okay. I mean, he had a fight for it.
I'm just trying to be nice.
nah. I hope it all I don't even care about Ryan Reynolds at this point. I want it all to kind of fail.
I mean, I hope him and his wife are happy.
Yeah, sure. Like, I don't know. He's got Mint Mobile money. Like, the guy's like all over the place. So whatever. He's fine. Let's talk to more depressing news. I feel like we're having a good time. We just have a lot of weird news tonight. Anyway, I think that Hot Pursuit's really, really cool and amazing. And you should check it out online.
It'll be cool.
Mandarin, but you get the gist.
Pretty easy. Google Translate the thing.
Sure. Yeah. Film and TV. Let's go into it, Victoria. What's been canceled?
Unfortunately, it's the song that never ends, I tell you. So Muppets Mayhem has been canceled after one season. This is Disney's latest attempt at a new Muppet series. So I guess I'll just give a little quick backstory. So the series follows Nora, who's a music executive who helped the Electric Mayhem record their first album. Mm-hmm. It features, you know, former Vine stars and shit. Lily Singh is a former Vine star.
And talk show host, weirdly enough.
She has a talk show?
Lily Singh had a talk show for about 5 seconds and it was very terrible and it got canceled. Yeah.
Who wants to? Anyway.
So, I mean, it was on NBC. It took over for Carson Daly. Like,
Oh
my.
It was after Seth Meyers. Yeah.
Oh.
It was called, like, I don't even remember what it was called. But it literally lasted like a month, and she was so bad at it that they canceled it.
Well, you know what? Good for her on trying.
Sure.
So I'm trying to be nice.
You really are. You I'm flipped. Doing well.
You're in kind of rare form, honestly.
Yeah, she got that black girl magic. She's coming back from Beyonce.
It's amazing what Beyonce can do for your spirit.
That's true.
But so oddly enough, it had 10 episodes when it debuted, and usually they'll like do one episode a week. I think they're even doing that with the Santa Claus show right now, which I'm not even going to get into that. But let me look at the numbers. It was one of the most well-received with an 86% tomato. It's good on Rotten Tomatoes. I ain't going to read all that. And it scored 95% with audiences.
And it was higher than Muppets Haunted Mansion, which was their most highest to date that
Right.
Disney has done.
But there's no
So
numbers. There's no actual
there's
streaming
no
numbers, right?
actual streaming numbers that I can
Right.
find. I looked, but I
I
didn't
mean,
find
I
any.
didn't finish it. I didn't hate it at all. I just it was a low it was a not a low interest show, but just sort of like it didn't ask much of me, and so
I
I
mean,
didn't finish it.
I didn't even. I think I got like maybe 5 minutes in. I don't
Yeah.
know. I got to the part where they were like at a desk.
Oh, a desk.
Okay. I remember that scene. No, it was funny. I mean, I don't have anything against it, really, truly. I honestly thought it was one season and a one-off. I didn't think it was a series
Yeah,
in
I
that
didn't think it was
sense.
gonna. I thought it was genuinely just gonna be like a one hit thing because that's kind of
Yeah.
how it's like. How far can you extend that? Like,
Right.
it's a
I don't even know if you could extend it past 20 minutes, honestly. I
yeah.
watched the first couple episodes.
It was fine. It was cute, but here's the problem. No one gives a shit about any of the human actors. It's the same problem that the Jason Segel Muppets movies had. Like, I don't care about humans in Muppet movies. Don't show me humans. I have no interest in the interactions of humans. And
Like, we're
we
here for the Muppets.
Yeah, and
Like,
they kept trying to make Lily Singh like this I don't know, viewpoint for the audience. And I was like, I don't need any of this. Just like concentrate on the Muppets.
feel like they just need to go back to the original formula. Like,
they serious and they can get
variety show.
celebrities. Just do
Like,
like celebrities will go on it.
and I will say, like, I think low key, they might have tested it with that one show at Jollywood because that show is the only thing that everyone across the board is saying
Yeah.
is the best thing about Jollywood. It's a Muppets variety show just
Yeah.
with Disney characters. So
Yeah.
put some celebrities in there.
It's not hard.
It's not
Don't
hard.
make a Muppets Tonight. You just make a
Right.
variety show.
Just
Just
make
put
a
it on a
variety.
stage, act like it's on a stage, and do it.
I'm sure
I don't
Julie
need it.
Andrews will come back.
She
Like,
will. I can almost guarantee it. You'll have to wheel her out, but she'll be there.
not
No,
wheeler
but
out.
like, truly, at this point, they have enough connections where they can get. They need A plus stars. To go do these things.
Are they willing to
And they've got them.
pay?
They've got them. They've
Yeah.
got them.
I mean, is they do. It's just I don't
Chris Evans would do it for free.
I'm sitting here in my head thinking of the A-list people who would do it for free.
Yeah.
Like, so
Yeah.
many.
And some of them have already done cameos in the movies. So in the last
Exactly.
two. And it's like they would do it. I would watch a half an hour show of Danny Trejo hanging out on The Muppet Show. Like, just do it. Why is
Yes, I
this
mean,
hard?
my 10-year-old recently rediscovered The Muppet Show and is thoroughly enjoying watching a bunch of celebrities he's
He's
never
never heard of.
heard
Honestly, there's some real deep cuts. Like, there is
There
some
really are.
deep cuts. And I'm a film professor. And I'm like, oh man, we can like we're gonna bring out what is the mime pair? I'm trying to remember their name. Whatchamacallit. Anyway.
Know who you're talking about, though. I
Yeah.
don't.
Yeah. They were a married couple who were mimes and they have a whole episode.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I
Only
did
a
not
thing you
know.
can only do in the 70s.
The fact that I remembered that.
Yeah, it's gonna bother me until I come up with their names.
We'll
Shields
figure
and
it out.
Yarnell. Shields and Yarnell are their
That's what it
names.
was?
Yep.
I thought it was Darnell.
Maybe it's Darnell. I think it's Yarnell. But
Huh.
anyway, Roger Moore was on it. He did a James Bond episode. Daniel Craig would do it. Do it. Just make it.
I think you'd have a harder time finding people that wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah,
Yeah,
honestly.
like
Honestly,
truly,
I mean,
truly.
it truly appears to be the most fun you could have making a stupid little one-off episode of anything.
And
Like,
I
it
feel
just
like it
truly
wouldn't
seems
cost
delightful.
that much. Like,
No.
I actually think it would. That might be the issue, actually. Just because the variety, if you look back at the Muppet Show, like they had like extensive big sets and
Yeah.
production with like original puppets
Oh,
and all this kind of
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, that's
That
true.
and that's really what makes it a worthwhile show is the expenses that they put into making all of those resources for an episode. And I truly don't know at this point in the game that Disney will be willing to pony up the cash for that sort of thing, regardless of the A-list talent that
Which
they
is
able to
mind blowing to
cobble
me because
together.
they'll put out money for Santa Claus, the TV show.
Well, that gets
Yeah.
there is a Midwest demographic for that. There really is. I don't get it, but there really is. But yeah, no, Muppets Mayhem, great. It's one of those series that it was the guy that did the Goldbergs who ran it, and his whole the guy can only like fetishize his own nostalgia, so it sort of lived in a. It was like kind of had really funny moments, and then kind of whatever. I think it was probably 5 episodes too long. I think you're right, Bri. I think it's.
I just didn't hold my interest. Like I think
to I your love point, the mayhem. Like, but
I love the mayhem. I think it was the core of it being Lily.
I don't care about her.
I don't care. I want to hear about the electric mayhem.
And the guy who's their tour manager or whatever. Like, I don't care. Like, I wanted to watch Dr. And there's an episode where Dr. Teeth's mom shows up and you find out about Dr. Teeth's past. And I thought that was really funny. And like, the more it was centered on the Muppets, the better it was. When they talk about Floyd finding Animal and he talks about Baby Song, like there's some really cute moments in that show and heartfelt stuff. And they just needed to concentrate on that anyway. Wish, let's talk about Wish. I don't want to go into too much detail about this. It's underperformed. It's not doing well.
Do you want to flip it and do the review first and then the number?
I mean, the number is 31.7. There's really very little to say when it comes to
compared to like, you know, other Disney films of the past and Napoleon and Hunger Games, which was good, by the way. I enjoyed Hunger
Games. Oh, yeah. I saw Napoleon. It's a really it's a great movie about a big dork. If you want to see a movie that it's not about a legendary military man. It's about Napoleon, who's a dork. So
that's Ridley Scott's angle, because I'm down for that.
Yeah, it's great.
Ridley Scott.
Yeah, yeah, really I'm that entices me. Thank you, Nathan.
Yeah, you're welcome. No, it's you watch and you're like, this is such a fucking dork. And Napoleon was a dork. So it works.
Yeah.
But yeah, Wish not didn't do well. Nope. Which, I mean, I feel like that's kind of a trend for a lot. Even with like the big hitters like Little Mermaid, they just haven't done well. Like I couldn't tell you. I think the last time they had a heavy hitter was like Encanto.
Well, I mean, Guardians of the
Galaxy is the best of the
only
year.
Big hit this year. Yeah, for Disney.
And that movie was
that came
terrible.
Out this year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. I mean,
I'm not for animal cruelty.
Yeah, that one, it was
that was my last time hanging out with Janine.
I know.
Oh,
what a terrible way to end it. No, we had a good time afterwards, but
yeah.
We left theater and we're like kind of like shaken, like beat dogs. We're just like, ugh.
It takes a lot on you. Well, did everyone see Wish?
I saw Wish.
I saw Wish.
Brian?
I have not seen Wish.
I've seen something you haven't.
Damn it, Brian.
Deal. Like, if y'all knew, like, it's a big deal for me to not have seen it. And I think it speaks to the numbers because my boyfriend, you know, went to school for illustration and animation and is obsessed with the history of animation and the Disney company and all of that. And neither one of us has really any desire to see this movie.
That's so crazy.
Which is truly crazy, but like, and we try and just can't get it up for it.
Me interrupt. That's how I felt about
honestly, right? From like an animation perspective, it is visually one of the most beautifully animated movies I've ever
agree.
Seen.
I didn't like it.
I didn't like the look of it.
You didn't like it? I saw it in 3D.
Okay, well, I didn't see it in 3D. I bet in 3D it looks
see
a lot
it in
better.
3D, but I didn't hate it.
My feeling
I've heard
was,
it's got beautiful animation in it, but like the story and the world and some of the aesthetics and like the choices that were made are just
I'll let Nathan go first.
Well, the first thing about the why I didn't like the look.
And the songs.
Oh boy. We'll get to
it. We'll get into
it. So the 2D for me, when not having the 3D element, it felt at times, at certain angles, very flat. And so it looked like a backdrop and then the characters in front of it. I didn't hate it per se. I just was like, I could go for this or not go for this. It wasn't the thing that I thought really helped the movie, in my opinion. I gave Wish 2 out of 5 stars, which means I didn't like it. I left with a shrug. It is a movie that is so busy trying to talk about the thing that it is, that it doesn't really have time to be its own thing. I don't mind the references. It doesn't bother me. I don't think they really got in the way. Some people are like, oh, well, they really shoehorn it in at the end. I don't think so.
I wouldn't agree.
But I would say that it is a 2-hour movie that is squished into 90 minutes. There is a lot of decisions that get made very quickly. The structure is a mess. I don't want to get into the details of storytelling structure and screenplay structure, but generally you have you set up a world, and then you have something happen that really kind of disrupts that world for the person, and they have to like figure it out. Now, I think this is in the trailer. So like, she finds out the king is holding all these wishes, right? And that's not great. And that's sort of their moment where they think things are, oh, this is different, right? This is the moment where everything changes. Well, not really, because things don't change for her until the star gets there. And so they sort of have this weird kind of like two starting points. And it kind of, you could have merged things and switched them. She could have met the star first and then went to the king, and then he was already mad. And she was like, oops, I'm not going to tell him about this. And then it's revealed why he has all these wishes. There's just things like that where they could have kind of compacted a couple things together. In that way, it was just I know the greatest Disney movies of all time have been made by committee. I'm not suggesting that animation by committee is a problem. But this feels like by committee that has to speak to a marketing team because it's connected to a 100-year anniversary. There is just this level of well, can we do this? Is this a thing? I don't find Asha to be interesting. I find her to be really kind of a try-hard, and she doesn't go through any journey at all for herself, in my opinion.
I completely agree with that.
I think that the villain is very, very interesting and completely dialed down and misused. And they try to make this – it's a tragedy what happens, and then they don't do anything with it. To the point where someone significant to the villain pretty much throws the villain away at the end in kind of a carefree manner in a way you wouldn't do. With that relationship,
Like no gravity grief,
none, zero.
This was just like, yeah. Okay. But then spent the whole movie basically being like this is the love of my life.
Yeah,
like,
I don't mind spoiling it. The queen at the end, of course, he is captured. I won't say how, and she basically says to the dungeon with him, and then like, I'm the queen now, and everyone's happy. And it's not like we have been married for decades and like I'm literally throwing my
Victoria said, the movie starts with her being like, I adore you, I love you, you're such a wonderful king, and then in like a flip of a switch it's just like,
well, there's a moment where they say, oh, if you use dark magic, you could never, like, you're stuck with it. You could never get away from it. And that immediately dissolves the concept that the villain is doing anything of choice. It immediately is just, he is a force of nature.
Strange.
Yeah, because you can ease, there's a great message of you're scared, you create structure, you fear that your structure is being unstabilized. With that fear, you try for more power, and because you realize that power gives you more power, you start sucking that up, right? And if you get to make a choice and you have a villain that gets to say, I'm going to choose this path because power is more interesting to me now than letting go a little bit. That's tragedy. That's interesting. Yeah. That's a villain that's made a choice to decide that they're going to be this way. To be like, he opens a book and now he's got green swirlies around him and now there's nothing we can do. He's basically a villain now. It's weird. It's a weird call.
And it does feel like mandated. Like, we just need to go back to our roots with an evil villain that's just evil, and we're not going to have any redemption or like character change for him at the end.
Because it doesn't even do that, though.
But it does not even.
It doesn't even go do that.
In the end, they play his literally the last scene with him. They play as a joke. Really strange.
If I'm honest, I hated this villain and I hated this song.
I love Chris Pine and I think he does an admirable job.
We all love Chris Pine.
But it's just
no Pine hate here.
It was like they tried to mosh posh all the classic villains and make it into one because it's a 100th anniversary thing. And I just, he did a great job.
I found his character to be scattered.
Absolutely.
Like, yes, is he this benevolent king, yes, or is he completely self-obsessed? Because at times he is both. And it's like,
it's so there are times when
he's even like in his private moments seeming like benevolent king. And then like the next second over, he's like, mirrors, I'm so gorgeous. Look, all the mirrors.
Well,
like,
even before
how
he,
how I felt about the movie as a whole. Like, it just seemed like they had ideas and some were left in, and but then it didn't complete. Like, there was one point like about Asha.
It where, feels like a 2-hour movie was made and they cut it down to 90 minutes. It really does.
Because like there was one point with Asha where they brought up, I think, her father. As an emotional, like, you know, grounding thing, but they do nothing with it. Like, I watched the movie and I was like, so what the fuck was up with the father?
She looked at she looked at the stars with her dad once or twice, is what it was.
And I'm like, that's great, but I don't have that emotional link with you. But it's so funny. I pretty much agree with everything Nathan said, but it's so interesting because there are people. I have one friend who saw Wish 4 times.
Okay, then.
Yeah, we ain't gonna talk about that, but and I have the friend who I went with because we see every Thanksgiving Disney movie together.
Sure.
Both of them love this. They specifically said the reason that they like it is because it's just a Disney film where it's just like, it's just, it gives hope. They like the message. It's just, it's nothing like, what's the word I'm looking for?
They like that it's not too deep.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. They like that it's fantasy straight through.
Well, and it's very the message of you're special and unique, which, by the way, people, you're not special and you're not unique. You're a thing of meat and flesh and you will die and be forgotten. That's just the truth of the world.
Took a turn.
I'm sorry. That's just the truth. Like, and you are lucky if you stick out and people remember you in 100 years. That's perfectly.
But also, who cares?
Sure. It's fine, right? But the point is so many of these kids' movies forever have been, you're special and you're different and you have hope. Now, someone did mention to me that this is a pro-union message, and I liked that.
I liked that
idea. And I think you can see that trend in the film as well. It kind of does a little bit of that special stuff, and it's a little bit like, you know, you have your own hopes and dreams, and that's true. But it does, in the end, kind of talk as a message about unity, which I mean in this day and era, if you want to have a movie that's like, hey, fascism is bad and like you should speak up against it, I'll take that.
I like the idea of community as well. Like,
yeah, there's a bit of that.
I mean, it, I feel like it,
but every side character is absolutely one note and flat. Like,
yeah, it's just, I don't hate the character of Asha, I just feel like she had a lot of potential that wasn't utilized.
Yeah,
I think overall the movie did what it was supposed to do in a way, but it's not their best.
Well, clearly not, because it's not performing. Well, word of mouth is not good.
But then I wonder, also, like Encanto, I was shocked at how audiences like did not.
Yeah, because I went to Encanto see that in the theater
until it went on Disney Plus, and then it exploded.
That's,
but like audiences,
that's COVID though. That's a little different.
That was post COVID.
We're still in COVID, we're in post-COVID,
you weren't even in a mask
potato
anymore.
Potato, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Audience, we'll see how this
it was
lands
last
on
year, wasn't it?
It was 2021.
So I mean, I think this has potential to, you're right, I think that it, the numbers
I
will probably
like it,
show on,
I feel
on
like it could do it.
Disney Plus, and I think that they're hoping for an Elemental here.
I think one thing that's important to remember is kids and what kids think, and kids do not watch movies with a lens of character development.
Yeah,
or
they don't give a fuck.
Is this a well-fleshed, like, my 10-year-old loved it.
Right.
I mean, I'm an adult. And I'm just like, I'll
like
buy it.
It's okay to make a movie that's for kids and that kids like and doesn't hold up to like critical scrutiny.
Not a surprise, Janine. I disagree.
You know, I agree with Janine, though.
Like, yeah, I disagree too. Also, I mean, I know what you're saying. No, but
I vastly prefer it.
Sure.
But like,
but it's not a bad. It's not that bad
if kids
fine.
Like it.
It is a lukewarm mid tier Disney movie, and you can't have the lukewarm mid-tier Disney movie be your 100th anniversary.
No,
like,
yeah.
It's just not.
This is like, it beats DreamWorks, but like,
right, Yeah.
It beats over the hill, a hedge, over the hedge.
I mean, they'll bring people in with the brand name, but overall, I just...
Well, and and Valentina is a horrible sidekick character. But not funny.
I didn't hate it. Oh my god, why does everybody hate the damn goat?
Let me tell you why.
I haven't seen it, but like that's a big part of the reason why I haven't seen it. I'm like, why is his voice so low?
Well, here's the
not into it.
Here's the problem. I was joking at the trailer that I love Alan Tudyk. I think he's done amazing work. He is incredible as Clayface in the Harley Quinn show.
Oh, for sure.
And the joke I had was, oh, he's just doing the Clayface voice, which he really is, which is just Clayface. Like, yeah, he really that voice. Is. And I thought, okay, that's funny, but he won't do that. That's not the vibe I'm going to get in the movie. No, there are scenes where I could rip dialogue off of Valentino and put it on Clayface, and it would be the exact same character. It's like they just told him, whatever you want to do, just do it. And he went with, ladies, oh, like, this is this voice. And like,
well, that's probably what they did, because they wanted to go for like a Robin Williams kind of feel.
I mean, it doesn't even feel like he was the first choice or something. It feels like this was a character they're like, well, whoever we can get for cheap. And I don't think Tudyk's that expensive. Like, we'll fill the void, and this is our gag machine. There's a scene in it where the star has like a ball of yarn, and it does cute things with it. And but one time it wraps some soldiers up, like kind of spins around them and wraps them up, and they fall over. And in the middle of them getting spun up and fall over, they just add this dialogue of, is this yarn? Like they are shoving as these like what we call like punch up jokes, like DreamWorks does, like into the sides of the film. Like, just okay, well, where, if people aren't looking, we'll have five takes of Alan Tudyk saying something and we'll pick one. Like, I mean, it's so weird how that character comes together and some of that extra stuff.
Okay, but now you sold me. I mean, can we just all agree that the star is cute?
Star is wonderful, and I love
star
it.
Star is the best part. I'm going to buy everything with that damn star on it.
My kid is begging for everything star that he could
Mission
get.
Accomplished.
Yeah, totally. Yep. But Katie and I had one fault with Star, which was we wanted to see little butt cheeks. We thought we needed one little scene where we saw little cheekies.
I think I said that. Also,
I just feel like little butt cheeks. Gotta see them little butt cheeks.
Sounds so weird.
If they had shown the butt cheeks in the trailer, I probably would have been on board.
Yeah.
What? How did we get here?
Look, it's a cute little plump thing, like
a Gudetama. Like,
yeah,
you know.
You're absolutely right.
Y'all are sick.
Yeah. What can I say? What can I say? Anyway, that's the news for this week. And we're gonna move on to. Maybe this is the most fun news. We're going to beware our guest. Okay. If you don't know this already, there's a very interesting thing occurred over the Thanksgiving weekend over at Disneyland. A park guest. It seems to me what happened was the ride was stopped, and they were working that out. They basically, this guy got out, because if you know about Small World, in Disneyland, it has a trough around it. It's not full water. Mm-hmm. And he got out and he took off all his clothes except his underwear, and just kind of started walking around Small World, and cast members were like yelling at him, and he like sat with some of the, it was sort of the scene with the pool of water by the Taj Mahal, and he sat kind of by the fake water and in the fake water and just sort of crawled around, then he went a little farther and off the underwear went, and he just was kind of walking outside naked around the exterior of Small World, giving everyone a look. We're pretty sure at this point that this was some sort of drug trip, it seems to be. He got hauled out
in a blanket.
In a blanket, two guards per hand, or two guards on hands and two guards on feet. They didn't even let the guy walk out. They just picked him up and took him. And yeah, he's of course been arrested and charged with, I think, indecent exposure. I'm trying to remember.
I believe that's what it was. And
yeah, I mean, it was. He certainly has been arrested, and they're charging him.
I mean, if it is a drug thing or a mental health thing, I hope he gets the help he needs.
If it's a mental health thing, of course, we hope for the best.
No, I don't. Based on the video, it does seem like it's more of a drug thing than that question. If it's like an addiction thing, either way,
y'all, you don't take LSD and gone. It's a small world. You don't do that.
No,
yeah,
you don't do that.
No.
Which apparently a lot of people do.
No.
No. And this is the first naked person we've had in the past.
It's kind of surprising. I don't know how long. I know.
It's
kind of surprising.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's been people
in the past.
I had a very
traumatic drug-induced situation at Disneyland once, and I wouldn't wish it upon anyone.
I mean,
and yet,
I am curious. You've mentioned it. Would you provide us more detail if you're comfortable providing it?
Yeah, go.
Oh Lord.
Well, this happened. I was in, this before I moved to LA. It was right before I moved to LA, and it was one of my best friend's wedding. Mm-hmm. And I had several friends that were supposed to go to Disneyland with me. I was visiting from New York, and I had several friends lined up to go with me. They all bailed the morning of, so I'm like, "Fuck it! I have tickets. I'm in town. I'm going to Disneyland." I happened to be in California at that time. Marijuana was very much legal and was very much not in New York. So I stocked up on marijuana and went to Disneyland by myself. On the Uber ride there, I had too many edibles. And an iced coffee, like a very large iced coffee. And I was in line for the Haunted Mansion. And there were these, like, I hesitate to use the word Lynchian, but because it's overused, but there were these three characters that were just truly bone chilling in their creepiness. It was a middle-aged woman who was like leathery brown, a guy in a Dodgers jersey, and then this woman who was kind of like Roz from Monsters, Inc., and also kind of like that doll from Rugrats, you know, the one with like the piecey hair. And,
oh,
like,
Cynthia?
Cynthia. She had that hair, Cynthia's hair, but she had little clips in the little tufts of hair on her head, and this Bluetooth headpiece, and she was having this really intense argument over the Bluetooth, and these like weird middle-aged like seemingly intentional parents had their infant with them, and they were with this woman. Relationship I couldn't even begin to tell you. But the woman received a phone call, handed the baby over to the presumed dad, and took the phone call. But the dad was totally oblivious to her or the baby. And so she just dropped the baby in the line for the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, no.
And the Cynthia Roz woman managed to grab the baby like just before it hit the ground. And the baby's head like was like whipped back and was like half an inch from the pavement of the line. And I just had a total panic attack, like absolute panic attack.
Oh, no.
And I, you may or may not be familiar with the line for the Haunted Mansion, but it's a lot of switchbacks.
Yep.
And at one point, you're between two brick walls in a sea of people with no exit. Like, that is the true terror of the Haunted Mansion experience. There's just no way out unless you're willing to crawl over large swaths of people. And I felt like I was going to release myself from every part of my body. I was so overwhelmed with this panic attack, and I was the middle of this line, and I had tons of marijuana on me, and you know, it just kept building and building and building. And it was also during the Haunted Mansion overlay, so they play that like Celeste music on a loop. It's like a 12-second loop of just like the same repetitive music. And eventually I just had to scream for help, and a cast member was fortunate enough to like part the seas, if you will, of guests, so I could climb out over the brick wall and hide in a bathroom for the remaining 2 hours of my panic attack.
Oof. Oof, oof, oof.
Oh, damn.
And then one time I went to Disneyland with Janina and I gave her some edibles and
too many edibles. Like I ate half of one and it didn't really kick in. So you were like, have another one. No. And
gotta wait.
Interestingly enough, it kicked in for me in the line for the Haunted Mansion.
I see. I see how it is. I think this is intentional.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, doesn't sound fun. Doesn't sound fun. Does sound more fun than seeing a nude man. So
yeah, yeah.
This guy.
Agree to disagree.
Well, perhaps, not in that setting. Let me put it like that. He was also sort of a Skeletor. He was scrawny dude.
He's cute.
God, he had some
like when
real...
he's not exposing himself, he looks like a Daniel Radcliffe playing Al Yankovic.
Some real twink energy,
a hardcore twink energy, and also like a completely dead face, like no expression happening
that's the
on
drugs.
That face at any point.
Yeah.
In
that's
any of this.
Drugs. Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Wow.
So there you go. That is Beware Our Guest this week, and we have a new segment now for two. Things we're having robots malfunction quite a bit nowadays, and so we now have a new segment called Oh No, Mr. Roboto.
Oh no,
Mr. Roboto.
Oh no, 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 no.
So in Oh No, Mr. Roboto, we are going to have two things this week. The first is that in Snow White, in the Magic Kingdom, as you know, at the end, Dopey is dancing with Snow White. Inside of the house. And recently guests got to see that Dopey was holding Snow White's arm as she just kind of danced without it. Apparently her arm fell off and is connected to his hand. And so she seemed to be doing okay, though. She was still pretty happy, even though she was now a one-armed princess. So I don't know if this is promotion for some update to the live-action movie we don't know about. I don't think so. I don't think Rachel Ziegler is a one-armed Snow White. So,
Furiosa Snow White.
Yeah, I take it. Sure.
I'll take it.
That's more interesting. But yeah, so Dopey has ripped off Snow White's arm at the end of that ride. And then we also have, which I think is absolutely frightening, Mark Twain's animatronic at the end of American Adventure, his head went full Exorcist. And turned a quarter.
That's the best way to describe that.
Yeah, look at this. I didn't actually look at it.
How does that happen?
I don't know, because these do move from underneath you and come up. I don't know if there's a lot of momentum in that. But this head has turned to his chin is towards his left shoulder. Completely.
He's like looking over his left shoulder.
Oh my
like,
god!
I'm going to have to argue that the full Exorcist would be the head turned around and hydraulic fluid jetting out of
its
mouth.
Yeah, there's no hydraulic pea soup. What is terrifying is the mouth is still moving from what I can see.
He's still got holding the cigar, too.
Yeah, and he's putting the cigar up to the side of his throat, which is something maybe a leathery woman at Haunted Mansion would do. This is it's really, really weird to look at. WWNT has a great video of it. But yeah, he's just going through his dialogue, and from what it seems, he is talking. The head is just turned.
The show must go on, he said.
Yeah, so real Death Becomes Her vibes going on with American Adventure. So he's pulling a Meryl Streep.
Why isn't there a Death Becomes Her dark ride?
Well,
I mean,
if that's not the gayest question we've heard all episode, I don't know what is. But I agree. Totally agree. It's a classic.
Janine, have you seen Death Becomes Her?
I have not.
Robert Zemeckis classic.
Your silence was deafening to me. How is she not feeling me on this?
Yeah.
Like, how do you not have my back?
You have homework, Janine. You got to fit that in.
Yeah.
You've seen Wish. You can see Death Becomes Her.
Yeah. It's a classic.
Okay, can Des watch it?
No. Maybe. I mean, he's like 11, so
it's
yeah. Yeah, but he's still very much six.
It's very cartoony in its
It's very graphic. Cartoony, like very cartoony.
But yeah,
Isabella Rossellini also.
Oh,
in one of her most iconic
roles,
it's truly astonishing.
It'll make a young man feel things. It's really
Will.
Yeah, yeah. Very good movie.
PG-13.
Yeah. No, it's very comic. You might want to watch it first, but you might like it. It's a Halloween movie in many ways. That's when we watch it every year. All right. So anyway, we're going to the next segment. We have a Heroes of the Park. It's been a while. All right, so we are Heroes of the Park this week. It's an interesting one because the hero of the park is not only a cast member, but Disney themselves. So recently, there's an article that was posted on WDWNT.com about a man who was a Disney cast member who worked for Disney inside of the software engineering roles for PhotoPass. But he was battling addiction, and he took a company card and racked up $24,000 in funding his drug habit. And he knew he needed to get right and figure it out. And so he was encouraged to talk to his manager and let him know what had happened. And to his, I would assume, complete astonishment, Disney decided to keep him on and give him a second chance and give him some an opportunity to pay back the money he owed, and then also supported him in his need to go to rehab. And it didn't take the first time, but he finally got it kind of figured out. Eventually he left the company so he could spend time with his family and sort of make amends with them as well. He's kind of back on the straight and narrow and recovering. And instead of kicking him out the door, Disney gave him an opportunity to sort of take care of his addiction, which, I have a lot of shit to say about Disney, but that's a pretty admirable thing to do.
It really is.
And he's obviously a cast member hero as well, because it takes a lot of courage to.
Yeah, that's honestly really.
Yeah.
Courage and strength and everything else, like that is so much.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's
so
a lot of courage and strength.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, God bless, I've never had to deal with.
And then to allow your story to go public too, like,
yeah,
I'm saying, oof. Like, whoa,
yeah,
a balls, yeah. My God. I mean, I'm glad that he's doing better.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, that's. If more companies and Disney, probably even more times, you know, if we were a country that saw addiction as a medical issue and took care of it as such, instead of treating it like a taboo subject, we'd be a healthier nation altogether.
Oh, you're asking too much.
Think about
the politicians.
I know. But some of them need it too. Adderall is an addiction. So, yeah. But anyway, so congrats to that CM, and thank you, Disney, I guess, for giving him a shot. We're going to move now on to our final segment of the evening, and one that we all, a beloved segment with our good old friend, the Astuter Computer Haikuter.
That's why I'm a router for me computer. Everybody needs a friend.
All right, so hello, Astuter. It's so good to have you this evening. I'm looking for just some haiku about something that happened in the news this week. What do you have for us? Let's see here. It's printing out. Naked tales unfold. Small worlds pause with great surprise. Strange echoes linger. Ooh, very good.
Bars. Where does that last line come from?
Who knows?
Strange echoes linger.
Yeah.
Strange echoes.
I mean, it's a kind of cavernous experience in there, I would imagine.
Yeah. You know, it comes from the heart. It's, you know, Janine, I don't appreciate you trying to criticize
not understanding
the Astuters.
Is it a reference to something that I'm not remembering?
No, Astuter is just pouring out its robot soul, and you're over here. Criticizing Dang. The poor robot.
Way like, to
what
go,
are you
going to
do? Astuter's giving you some astuter. I can't condone the somehow he doesn't even have hands and he still flipped you off. I don't know how he did it. It was amazing. Okay. Anyway, with that, of course, thank you all so much for joining us on this madcap episode. Bri, where can people find you? And you have a new movie that you worked on that has recently come out. Tell people all about it.
I co-wrote a short film that is about dinosaurs and also invasive species and about ecotourism and about middle-aged Waffle House waitresses named Tammy. Some of my favorite things. And it's available on YouTube. It's called The Hatchling. If you like dinosaurs, I would recommend it. Thanks. I'm glad you found it fun. I'm on the internet too often, like most of us. I'm on Twitter. I am Quetzalcoatlus. Janine mentioned that most people probably have no idea how to spell that, so I'm gonna spell it Quetzalp. Oh, you know what? Forget about it. I mean, Twitter's dead. I mean, I'm on there for another 40 minutes probably at this point. Like, who's doing anything on there anymore?
I mean, I'm still on there. We all need it. This Twitter's got to find a new home. Look, this is how it works right now. Go on. You can use X all you want, or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, all you want. You just got to block every ad that you see. Because right now, I am sucking Elon Musk. Let me rephrase that. I am...
bleeding.
I'm bleeding Elon Musk dry by ignoring advertisers. So I actually feel like being participants on the platform and actively sabotaging it is more helpful than being away from it in many ways. And also,
I can't help. I mean, he is definitely tanking the platform intentionally. I don't feel like there's any question about that for me. So, you know, whatever. Yeah. But anyway, I'm also on Instagram, and that is Charismatic Megatrauma. Yeah,
cool. And yeah, it's absolutely check out The Hatchling. It's really fun, and it's a great watch. And I can't imagine the amount of work it went into. They do some really good computer effects for the dinosaurs and stuff. That's a lot of work, and it really works. I imagine it was a pretty small crew, and so
very small.
Yeah
I mean, it was truly a labor of love that we did for all the kids out there that want to see some dinosaurs in their backyard.
Yeah. Hell yeah. More dinosaurs. There's no such thing as.
And in their dryer. View.
Yes. True.
Spoiler alert, Janine.
But anyway, y'all, don't forget, if you need anything from us, you can get to us at bit.ly/ratcastle. The shirts are still available. Our Rat Pride shirt. Both of them are still available. All that money goes to the Trevor Project, of course. Rat Castle, of course, is produced by yours truly, Nathan Hartman. Please subscribe, tell your friends, do all that business. You know the drill at this point. And again, we haven't had questions in a while. I haven't opened that mailbag. If you have any questions, you can also do that over at bit.ly/ratcastle. So now, grab your belongings, keep your clothes on, and exit to the left.
Will you stop this foolishness?
What foolishness would you like to see?
Will you get out of here?